Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. On today's episode, I have an amazing guest. Her name is Sylvia Black, and currently she's studying at Harvard University and doing a program in liberal arts with a focus on management. Sylvia is a former executive assistant to the president, CEO, and general manager at Parkwood Entertainment. If you know, you know. She has a vast experience in music, fashion. Sylvia did a lot of fundraisings, and I'm so, so happy to have her as a guest for the podcast. Hi, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi, Sofiko. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So excited for a chat today. Let's start with your background. Can't wait to hear your story.
Yeah. So my story starts back in 2012, I want to say, in the world of fashion. I had just moved. So I'm originally from New York, but I was living upstate for some time. I went to high school upstate in Rockland County. I don't know if any of you guys that are listening are familiar with Rockland County, New York. But when I was about 20 years old, I moved to the city. And when I moved to the city, I was thinking about different things that I wanted to do, different industries I wanted to be a part of, and where, you know, my life was going to go. And I had always wanted to be in fashion. And I said to myself, you know, one of the most important things for me is to just make sure that whatever I do, I can have an impact on culture in a very meaningful way. And at the time, I felt that was through fashion, right? I said, people who read magazines, you know, are looking to dress themselves in a way that makes them feel incredible. And if I can contribute in some way to the confidence that someone has in themselves with the way that they express themselves, and they're inspired by, you know, a small portion of what I contribute to a photo shoot that's put in that magazine, then I want to be a part of that. And so this was like pre-Instagram days. This was like when Facebook was like booming and people were like, I have, you know, 800 friends on Facebook. And that was a big deal. MySpace was like a thing, you know, still a thing back then. And there really wasn't a way to connect with anybody in that industry unless you knew them. It wasn't like a certain degree of separation. It wasn't like I could just, you know, enter something into MySpace and find someone in fashion. And so I went to Google and I did, you know, a fierce Google search on any keyword that I could think of to try to find somebody that I could work for in the fashion industry. And I ended up sending out a million emails to this list of emails that I found on Google for wardrobe stylists. And I drafted a very personal cover letter, told them why I wanted to get into fashion, what was exciting for me to be able to work in fashion, and, you know, where I saw myself in fashion long term. And I got a couple of responses, but along the way, I found an opportunity to apply for an internship at Lucky Magazine at Condé Nast. And at the time, you know, they were only accepting interns who were students a part of university. But I wasn't a part of university at that time. I literally just wanted to work in fashion. And so I applied and I sent a personal email. I ended up, I don't know how I found the email address to the fashion. I think it was like the closet director at Lucky Magazine. I don't know how I found it. But I sent an email to her directly and I said, hey, look, you know, this is what I'm looking to do. This is what my cover letter is. I'm not a student at university, but I promise you I'll work really hard. Please, please, please accept me to be the intern. They weren't even paying us at that time. We weren't receiving a stipend. We weren't receiving like money for transportation. Like literally, I was just working for free. And so I remember her calling me in for an interview. And I spent like $400 on a pair of shoes from Tommy Hilfiger just to impress like this woman that I was sitting with. And it worked. You know, I was like, this is the most I've ever spent on a pair of shoes. But if I have to show someone that I'm serious about fashion, then I'm going to do that. And so the first thing that she said when I sat down, she's like, oh, my God, I love your shoes. I was like, thank you. And from there, you know, we just built a really strong rapport. And I ended up interning at Lucky Magazine and stayed in fashion for a really long time. But I also realized that there were so many different facets and avenues to go down within fashion. You can be in the editorial side. You could be in the personal styling side of fashion. There's just so many different avenues, and I wanted to explore them. And so when I left editorial, I was introduced to a woman by the name of Rachel Johnson, who's a CEO of Thomas Faison, or the Thomas Faison Agency. And I had been looking for paid work around that time. And when I met Rachel, she said that she wasn't necessarily looking for anybody right away, but to keep in contact with her. So I literally like reached out to her every 6 months, like, hey, Rachel, can we meet up? Hey, Rachel, can we have coffee? Hey, Rachel, this is what I'm working on, just to keep her informed on the things that I was doing. And I would always ask her if she needed extra help. And one day she said, yes, you know, I am doing a photo shoot for the NFL. It is a shoot for the NFL. And we are going to be helping them transition. It was at the time when the NFL had been transitioning from having their uniforms being made by Reebok to Nike. And so she was building a team around this new partnership. And so she asked me to be a part of that. And so from there, ever since I got on board with her, with Rachel, I had just kind of taken off in the personal styling world. And Rachel had been known for styling Amari Stoudemire, Victor Cruz, just a number of different A-list athletes in MLB, in the NFL, and in the NBA. And she taught me a lot just personally about personal styling, and just opened up a whole new world for me that I had never really gotten to explore. And I'm really just a firm believer that if you are stepping into a space and you want to excel in that space, you need to immerse yourself in that world, in the world that you want to be in. And so I wasn't familiar with sports, right? Mm-hmm. But I said, okay, well, what else can I do? Like, these jobs were coming in sporadically and I needed to have a consistent stream of income. And so I worked nights at the 4040 Club. And the 4040 Club was Jay-Z's nightclub in Manhattan. And his nightclub really was a sports lounge. And they would play the games every weekend or every single time there was a game to be played. So I was constantly immersing myself in the world that I was wanting to be a part of. So nights I would work at the 4040, and then during the day I would style athletes with Rachel. And so I did that for a very long time, and her and I built a very strong rapport. But there was a point in Rachel's career where she was kind of transitioning her organization and making some structural changes. And for me, I wasn't really able to have the consistency that I really needed. And so I started looking for work, for stable work. I actually ended up starting my own company called Space Matters in the meantime, where I would go into people's homes and completely reorganize their wardrobe closets and help them transition to different moves and, transition one wardrobe closet to the next, or transition from spring to winter, or from fall to summer. And so I did that for about 3 years, and I did that for a really long time. And that was a really great experience as well. But again, it was a consistency of income that was always lacking for me. And so I would take work in between. But I remember getting a phone call from a recruiter that I had sought out, who was very skilled in placing talent or people who wanted to receive work in the industry with people who were in the industry. And so when she reached out about Parkwood, I was a little hesitant. I'm not going to lie. I was a little hesitant at first, because I said to myself, you know, if I'm going to be in entertainment, I want to know that the person that I am working for, I need to know that we're aligned with the same values. I could be working, you know, under the umbrella of any celebrity, but the person that I'm going to be attached to the hip to, I need to know that me and that other person are aligned with the same values, and the communication is strong, and it's just a good match. I don't just want to work for someone just for the sake of working for the name. And so she understood that, and I ended up meeting with the GM and the COO of Parkwood, and immediately we clicked. And working at Parkwood was just such a joy. I was exposed to so many different experiences and was afforded the opportunity, because of how much I made at Parkwood, I decided to take half of my income and apply that to finishing my education. So during the day, I would work at Parkwood, and at night, I would go to school. And it just so happened that, you know, Harvard was my choice. I was looking at a number of different schools, but Harvard offered the greatest flexibility in order for me to complete my degree and still be able to handle the responsibilities that I had at Parkwood. It wasn't easy for me to become an admitted student at Harvard. I had to earn my way in. You know, like, they don't provide financial aid during your admissions process. You have to take 3 courses. You have to get a B or higher in those 3 courses. And then you're admitted into the school. But it by no means is an easy feat, especially with all of the priorities that I had going on at Parkwood. So it definitely took some effort, but I knew that strategy was just as important as creativity, and being able to think critically is crucial, especially when you are looking to progress the vision of a superstar. And I wanted to be able to not only offer value and provide value in the space that I was in, but make sure that I was competent in the areas that required me to be competent, if that makes sense. So that was my reason for going back. And like I said, I took half of my income and I lived way below my means. Now I'll be graduating next year. So I'm very proud of myself and just taking one step at a time, one day at a time, one decision at a time. And that's really how it's unfolded and kind of blossomed over time.
How incredible your story is. So you spent like 4 years in Parkwood, and how many years you were like combining your studies and working out of them?
Yeah, so I started my admissions process in 2017, and I started Parkwood January of 2017. So the admissions process started maybe 6 months after I started at Parkwood. I wanted to know, you know, well, what would my responsibility be like here at Parkwood? And and would I be able to take on the workload from school? And at what capacity would I be able to do both?
What were your responsibilities at that role?
Yeah, so a lot of what I did at Parkwood was really to just support their COO. And those responsibilities really changed day over day. It wasn't like, you know, I had one specific responsibility that I had to carry out, you know, for the past 4 years. But things that I did ranged from scheduling his calendar, scheduling meetings on his calendar, to coordinating projects and commitments directly involving him and the GM, identifying priorities and strategically aligning his time with those priorities. I would say I provided administrative support for concert tours, which you're familiar and aware of, which included 39 cities at 39 venues, and I think in 47 shows across the UK and the US. And that was for OTR 2. Mm-hmm. And then other times I would work overtime hours to support their philanthropy initiatives and mission-driven projects. So that would be the 2017 Waco Gala, the 2017 and 2018 Sean Carter Foundation Toy Drive, our 2018 mission trip to Burundi. So it was just a number of different things that I helped the C-suite accomplish. And those responsibilities changed daily. So,
wow, so many interesting projects. You mentioned philanthropy, which I think is super important.
Yeah.
And as someone who worked in the field of music business, how do you think, are there a lot of philanthropic projects? Are musicians doing a good job, or you think they could do better at this?
I think that what's being done on a philanthropic level in music can be extended a little bit more. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think people are doing, you know, what they can do, and not to take away from what's being done. But I think, there's always room for more. There's so much going on right now in the world, but I do commend all of the artists who are contributing to causes that, you know, need the most attention right now. Always an opportunity to do more. And I think we're in a space right now where everybody's looking to kind of extend their efforts beyond what they're currently doing to make sure that we're taken care of and those most in need are being acknowledged and taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
And what would you say was your most favorite project you worked on while being with Parkwood?
Let's think about what's my favorite one. You know, I have to say that it would be the OTR 2 tour. We had worked on that so hard, and it was such a team effort and for so long. You know, and to be able to literally, I remember sitting down in the office with our COO writing on the back of a napkin paper what our tour, what our routing was going to be like for the tour, and all of the pieces that needed to be implemented in order to make sure that this tour was successful. I remember sitting down in design meetings and watching Stewfish, you know, really draw out and explain certain renders. And I remember getting to the final point of what the final render, approved render was. And then I remember being in Amsterdam, you know, in the middle of the arena just before we opened the doors for the concert to begin, and being able to see all of those components of such a huge accomplishment from A to Z really, you know, was just inspiring and the most fulfilling aspect of any project that I had worked on with Parkwood, just being able to see it from beginning to end and know that I had a part in contributing to that, right? Like before I mentioned me working in fashion, the most important thing to me was to make sure that I was contributing to culture in a very meaningful way. And I feel like that true north has really stuck with me. Those values have really driven any decision for me to work with any company. And working with Parkwood allowed me to realize that vision in full and realize those values and apply myself to those values from start to end. So it's just definitely an excellent and exciting experience for me, one that I'll never forget.
That's incredible. And you really are sticking to your values because you did a lot of fundraisings yourself, not with Parkwood, just by yourself. Yeah. Do you maybe want to share about it?
Yeah. So for my 30th birthday, I thought to myself, you know, what can I do to bring my group of friends together and give back, right? I think everybody kind of gets caught up in this thought process that they have to be in a certain place in life before they give back to their community or before they can find ways to do something for others. And for me, you know, just thinking about my background and all of the things that I've been through, you know, I was just blessed to be where I was at that point, and recognizing and acknowging that, it just, for me, I wanted to give back, and I didn't want it to just be a result of something I did for a job that I worked for. I wanted to give back personally. And so I got my friends together. I had thought, you know, it's my 30th birthday. Like, should I go, before I landed in this space of giving back, I was like, should I go travel? Should I do a dinner? Should I, you know, have a big party? Like, what should I do? And I was like, no, Sylvia, you know, you can do all of these things at any point in time. You know, you can, everybody celebrates by having a dinner. Like, what is a way that I can celebrate truly and just be thankful for where I am at this point? So I talked to my dad about it, and he really inspired me to give back. And so that's where this idea of partnering with the Boys and Girls Club came in. And I had used the relationships that I had cultivated at Parkwood to connect with their regional director, who eventually put me in contact with the COO of the Boys and Girls Club in Harlem. And so him and I, you know, met in person. He showed me the club, and we crafted a way for me to do a give back for my birthday. And I've been doing that for the past 2 years now.
Wow. And so how does this work? What people should do?
Yeah, so I send out an email every year in October, and I say, hey guys, you know, or rather I send it out in August to prepare for October, and I have them donate anywhere between $20 and $50 to an Eventbrite. They like purchase a ticket. And that ticket, those funds, all of those funds go to the Boys and Girls Club. And so I let them know that I'm doing this event. So the first year I did it, it was an activity day. And we played kickball and we carved pumpkins and we had pizza and we did, you know, musical chairs. And we just had an activity day with the kids. So that was a lot of fun. And all of, I had maybe 50 friends donate money to the cause by purchasing a ticket, and I ended up printing out the ticket and handing it to the Boys and Girls Club director that first year at the end of our event. And the second year, we had a food drive this year. And same thing, I just sent out an email, said, hey guys, this is what, you know, is going to be happening this year. Would love for you to participate and to volunteer. You know, that the structure of that and coming up with that idea was a little bit difficult just because of what we were going through with COVID. But again, you know, I really wanted to give back. I felt like it is a responsibility, you know, that I have to this community and in general. I'm blessed in a space where, you know, sure, I might not think things are perfect. But I'm definitely in a better situation than a lot of people out there are. And I shouldn't be, you know, so blind to see that there isn't a way for me to give back somehow. So we came up with the food bank, and I worked again with the same club to do a food drive with them. And so the first year we raised $2,000, and then the second year we raised $3,000, and we were able to feed 225 families.
Wow. It really shows how big your heart is. It's incredible what you're doing.
Thank you.
And once you're done with your studies, do you have an understanding what you want to do after this? Do you want to go back to music industry, to fashion, or to do more philanthropy works?
Once school is over, I'm actually an entrepreneur at heart, right? I think that's what has drawn me to this life of, because before I even worked at Parkwood, I was freelancing a lot in fashion. And I really love, you know, being an integral part to the bigger picture. I don't like being a number in an organization. I like to be in smaller organizations where I can contribute in a major way. And I've been giving a lot of thought to, you know, what my next steps are. And I've been working on a project of my own, a venture of my own. And you know, it's aligned with my values. It has a component of philanthropy to it as well. And you know, it's going to contribute in a major way, and I'm very excited about that. I think now's the time to take the risk in trying to do something that you wouldn't ordinarily do. There's a lot going on in the world right now that, I mean, if you can't find a way to contribute, then I don't know. It's impossible, I should say, that there's no way for others to contribute to all of the major issues that are going on in some way. And not that you have to, but for me personally, I feel like it's a responsibility for me to do that. And so my next steps have really been evolving around how can I contribute to the issues at hand, and really embrace my entrepreneurial spirit to have an impact that will change people's lives and change the communities that I'm in. So
That's incredible. What would you say are your life highlights?
I'm coming up on a huge highlight right now, and that's graduation for me. Mm-hmm. I have a tendency to kind of, I definitely acknowledge my accomplishments, but I think it's those personal, those deep-rooted goals that, man, I've always wanted to achieve, and this is one of them that's coming up. So graduating in spring of 2022 with my bachelor's degree is going to be one of those life highlights for me, on a very personal and meaningful level. And I'm just taking one step at a time every single day to get there. So that's what it mm-hmm. is for me.
Lovely. And what is your definition of success?
That's a great question. My definition of success is just being happy with the personal achievements I've set for myself. It doesn't necessarily have to do with money, because money isn't happiness. To me, I think money does offer a certain level of comfort for sure. And without it, you'll definitely not be happy. I had a friend who always used to say, you can't pay the rent with a smiley face. So
unfortunately, imagine.
Definitely not. So money does have something to do with it. But I honestly believe that if I can achieve my personal goals and to still be able to have positive, meaningful, peaceful, joyous relationships around family and friends, then to me, that would be a success.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations for those who listen to us right now?
Ooh, it depends what you're learning to, what you're wanting to learn more about. Yes, one of the books that has guided me through my perspective of life has been The Book of Secrets, one of my favorite books. But it's called, people kind of get it mixed up. It's not The Secret. It's called The Book of Secrets by Deepak Chopra. It's an excellent book. One of the guiding principles of my life and of my journey. And without it, I don't know if I would be the same person. So I definitely recommend anybody who's looking to progress to read that. It will definitely change your perspective.
Thank you. And movie and song?
Movies and songs. I would recommend Soul. Yeah, I definitely recommend Soul. And songs, let me think. You know what? Let's go with what I've added recently. I was inspired by Virgil Abloh and his creative direction for his latest show. And I just recently added Most Def. I love Most Def, by the way. Not that I didn't know about Most Def. I absolutely like, he's core to like part of who I am, you know? But a song that I recently added was called Umi Says, U-M-I Says, by Most Def. I would add that.
Thank you. Who would you say is your celebrity crush?
Ooh, a celebrity like crush?
Yes.
Oh man, who's a celebrity crush? That's a hard question. It's so hard to choose. I would say David Washington is. Yeah, David Washington. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely a crush for me. So.
What is the most useless talent that you have?
the most useless talent that I have. Singing is the most useless talent that I have. I actually have a really good voice. I used to be in the choir. I used to sing, you know, at church. Man, I had such a good voice as a kid. It's kind of like gotten really rusty as I've gotten older, but it's probably the most useless talent that I have, singing. Yep.
But why do you think it's so useless?
Because I don't use it. Because literally, I sing to myself whenever I feel like singing. I'll sing in the shower. I'll sing like when I'm by myself. But I do not use it at all for any purpose other than joy, to bring to myself joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the last question that I like to finish the interview with is, who inspires you the most?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I've got to go with a unit. I can't just say one, but it's my family. My family inspires me the most. My little sister is so talented and so bright and brilliant and beautiful and just ambitious, and I absolutely adore her. She inspires me to be a great sister, a good big sister every day. I'm inspired by my older sister and her humor and, you know, just her heart to be a good person every single day. I'm inspired by my mother, who, man, she has such a fierce way of attacking issues, but is also so lighthearted. You know, she inspires me to be, you know, a better woman every single day. And my father inspires me just to be a great daughter and to be a fierce businesswoman every single day. So my family, yeah.
That is so beautiful, Silvia. Thank you so much for this chat. It was so, so great to hear about your story.
Thank you.
You have the most beautiful, kindest, one of the biggest hearts. And it's incredible what you're doing, that you're have this desire to give back and not just live life for yourself, but also improve lives of others, which is incredible. And I wish there were more people like this. But thank you really for your time and for this incredible interview with you.
Oh, thank you, Sofiko. I appreciate you bringing me on, just asking about my story, for acknowledging, you know, my wins, and I appreciate you. And I'm so excited for everything that you have going on and everything that's going to happen in your future, and to hear more about your story. So keep going.
Thank you so much.
I'm very excited and proud and happy for you. So can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. All right. Bye.